The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You are part of our 600,000 listening level, American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, AM360 listening audience. This is Criminal Justice and Prison Reform. I am your host, Imam Hananiah Shabazz, promoting awareness, empathy, and involvement. My co-host and gift from Allah that keeps on giving, the gorgeous queen of talk radio, my wife, Dr. Amina Ali, is here with me today.
Assalamu alaikum. Is this thing on? Well, alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. It is I, and I am so glad to be here with you.
Inshallah. Let us open with the traditional opening. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. All praise is due to Allah, the creator of everything possible and everything impossible, whom not a leaf drops without his permission. He is the advancer and the delayer.
in all of our contributions as we contribute to remaking the world. So once again, all praise to Allah. First of all, I have to apologize for our absence. And then we will kind of explain to you some of the reasons why we were absent. And our absence was in accord with our perception of criminal justice and prison reform from the perspective that every little bit helps. And you have to do it eclectically. And so we have been engaging in things that required our presence. And as a result of that, we had to sacrifice something in we're sad and apologize for sacrificing the radio show. Even tonight, we have to travel. Like we have a 2-hour travel right after the show, and this is New York City. And so what I want to share with you first is some of the things that we've been doing, right? So I've kind of went on to New Hampshire and spoke to the high school. The school was Berwick Academy School, and I spoke to them on criminal justice reform and prison reform and just walking while black in our neighborhood, profiling, because they have no clue whatsoever of how life is in the inner city and how it affects black boys and men. And so we went up there and with this program called Raising My Voice and presented to them, and the reception was amazing. They were really open to the information and surprised of the experience that was going on down in the inner city area. In addition to that, we have been attending different kinds of training involving communities, houses of worship, and how houses of worship need to come together in efforts to change, to be better in the community. And this is, I think, what we have to do, particularly as Muslims. Particularly as Muslims, we have to get involved in community activities and community affairs with other religious organizations. And so one of the trainings that we did was New York Management Emergency Training for New York Disaster Interfaith Service. So, well, this was regarding how would houses of worship respond in disastrous situations, and how would we work together to address any disaster in our community. And, it's funny, and I'm saying that we weren't there, but I was there. I was there, so we did have representation from our community, but I think more of us should have been present, considering that the room was crowded and I was the only one there from our community. And I think there was one or two other foreign Muslim who were present. And so in addition to that, I went to a training for the 66th Precinct Clergy Council Incorporated, and the 66th Precinct, and that's in Brooklyn. And it was what they call the God Squad training. And what this God Squad training is about is training clergies to deal with gun violence or on the street. Not just talking about it, but getting in the streets and involving yourself with what is necessary to stop gun violence in our community. Because, the guns don't kill people, the person pulling the trigger is the killer. So if we can change the minds of people to pull against pulling a trigger, we can stop gun violence in our community. And so I also attended a faith-based development forum for houses of worship for unused or underused buildings or land training. And this was, in Brooklyn Borough Hall. And this was where we had all the financial people in New York present who were ready and willing to give to religious organizations and whatever program they want to institute or whatever, how they want to build their building, how if they want to start from scratch, if they want to renovate, and all of the rules and regulation around renovating your place or building a new place. All of the people that are from financial institutions or financial offices in the state of New York was there, and they were explaining how they would give their money to your education. Of course, now this is the one thing that kind of stood out to me is you have to have your records right. In other words, we have to be running our business according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, because if we're running our organization, we're running business according to the Rasulullah, we will have no problem with them auditing our books and to grant us money. Because if they're going to do that, they want to see your books. They want to see what you've been doing. It doesn't matter how successful you've been, but they want to make sure that you haven't been doing anything with impropriety. There's no impropriety in your records. So that event, that kind of training I went to also. And then we went to a training for veterans, the VA Center for Faith and Opportunity Initiative. And it's a faith-based and clergy initiative for suicide prevention training. And so how do we address the veterans in our community? How do we address the suicide rate of veterans in our community? Do we even have any concern about it? Have we ever said anything about that? I have never heard anyone actually addressed a concern for veterans who are Muslims that are suicidal. So we want to we want to be involved in what's going on in the community. All praise is due to Allah. And then one, we went to this event that was reckoning with our legacy of slavery and charting anti-racist future, because we need to address the issue. We need to tell the story as it happened. And we need to tell it from our experience, not someone else tell it for us. You know, so this is the thing that Dr. Amina and I have been doing while we were away from the from broadcasting. So now I going to say that, or I should let her do it. But, what we have here now is an ambassador to the African Union. So I will let the ambassador to the African Union kind of give you an overview of her activities while we were away. Dr. Amina.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
I am, I think I had this thing doing something else. Okay, good evening, brothers and sisters. I am very, very thankful, very humble at this point. I don't know. I tell you, 2 years ago, I couldn't even plan half of this to happen to me. But, you know, Allah's Qadr is sufficient and is enough for me. I am so humbled at this point. One of the greater gifts that was given to me recently was a saying. It's actually a spiritual saying, and it says, when God gives you a new beginning, it starts with an ending. Be thankful for the closed doors. They often guide us to the right one. There have been some things that have happened in my life, and I think that one of the things that I have to be more appreciative of is the distraction that the closed doors have given me. And the distraction meaning that I have to see the doors that are open. When Allah says, when you ask Allah something, he never says no. He says yes, yes, but not right now, or I have something greater. And when he says that, it humbles me to no end to understand what it is that he's speaking about. Sometimes you don't understand the purpose and the mission, but when he gives you certain things, run with it. Run with it. And one of the things that he has given me is the the ambassadorship to the African Union. I am actually a representative and a member of parliament for the African Union officially. So alhamdulillah, may Allah be given a greater praise for that. I will be standing in contention with this position effective immediately, and we will be sworn in May 25th, 2020, which is the day of the day of the diaspora, which is May 25th. So we will be sworn in officially, but our position is immediate. And we will be making resolutions and things that have to deal with the diaspora, people of African descent that are living here in the United States, that are needing and wanting rights and responsibilities, to include the desire and intention of them to be paid in reparations, as well as the things that we need to suffice our lineage here, to bring back some of our legacy and to help us to understand fully what it is that we're to do as people of color here in the United States, and how we are to regain our legacy and lineage and ancestry to the continent. The biggest piece about that is to be a representative, and when much is given, much is required. So the humility goes without saying, and the gratitude is beyond measure at this point. And I give it all to Allah, all of it, every last bit of it is Allah's doing. And I ask that each of you just hold me in this space right now. Hold me in the understanding that this is for all of us, and this is for the entire community, to help us understand where we place in this diaspora, how we are to be effective both here and in our continent. And for those that want to know what it is that they are to do and be as people that are born here of African descent, yet don't know where their lineage or heritage lies. I've had a few elders come to me and say, you know, for years I just thought I was black in America. And then there's some that say, I just thought I was a Negro in America. And now I'm hearing conversations that saying, thank God I'm not just American. So this is a great conversation that the elders are having now, and they're wanting to know, before they close their eyes, where it is that they are from. They're asking questions. They're wanting to know if there is a difference between being African in America or being an African American. And they're asking what it is that they need to do to pass this down. So this is a great, great thing that is happening. I will speak more about it in the next episode of Birth of Women, which will come at about 8 o'clock. But I did want to say thank you for those that allowed the vote to go forward. Thank you for those that were in charge of the nomination. And I thank you again for holding me close. It's been a rough road, and there's certain doors that are closing. Within me personally, and then, of course, the transition to better things. And I just wish that all of you just keep me in your dua, keep the imam in your dua, and allow us to be good in this mission, inshallah.
And at that point, I think we want to take a PS break, and when we come back, we will begin criminal justice reform traditionally.
Assalamu alaikum. Los Angeles, California. Entertainment capital of the world, Hollywood, home of the stars, is proud to host the Muslim Journal 16th Annual A Time to Be Grateful 3-Day Conference. This year's theme, Embracing the Oneness of Humanity with Faith, Action, and Truth, will kick off Thursday, December 12th with an exciting bus tour with stops along the way. Friday, December 13th, we'll begin with registration and surrounded with an amazing vendors marketplace. Muslim Journal's press conference with State Senator Stephen Bradford, joined by Assemblywoman Autumn Burke. Suspending all activities for spiritual needs, Juma prayer will be given by Imam Abdul Karim Hassan of Masjid Bilal Islamic Center, followed by a meet-and-greet session with sports and media personalities. This will be followed by an exciting evening of fun with cultural experiences. Saturday, December 14th, will start with informational and interactive workshops with outstanding presenters. This will be followed with an evening of Elegance Awards dinner. Giving our keynote address is Imam Fahim Shuaib of Oakland. Our special guest speaker is a Los Angeles philanthropist, noted for his exceptional passion for African American history and art. Dr. Bernard Kinsey is a successful entrepreneur, and along with his wife Shirley, they have two quotes, or as they describe them, life principles. One is, to whom much is given, much is required, and to live a life with no regrets. We look so forward to have these dynamic speakers this evening. On to Sunday, December 15th, business breakfast and fashion show, closing the conference with an interfaith talim with community's leading leaders. Masjid Bilal Islamic Center's Planning Committee welcomes you to California. We're so looking forward to having you here. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. And we're back with criminal justice reform. And I want to take us, continue us on this, on our path as we've been focused on looking at criminal justice reform and prison reform from the perspective of the fruit of the poisonous tree, and meaning that the criminal justice system that we have today is the result of the system that formulated the slave-master-slave relationship. And so we're living the fruit of the poisonous tree. We're working with the fruit of the poisonous tree. So we're still getting poisoned. And we're trying to heal ourselves and yet continuously taking the poison. And I think that's counterproductive. That's it won't work. We won't heal. We won't heal. We might feel good for a day, and then the next thing you know, the sickness is back because the poison is still in us. The poison is still in us from self-hatred, disliking light skin, disliking dark skin, the wife against the husband, the husband against the wife, the children against the adults against the children. And it's just chaos. Not trusting each other, not willing to work with each other. All of these things are elements from the slave-master-slave relationship, orientation, plantation psychosis, as I call it. And this is the thing that we must change the thinking. We must change the state of mind of the officials of the criminal justice system. And although that's something else I really wanted to start, but I'm going to start with this, since I said changing the minds of those officials in the criminal justice system. Now, we just had the police chief resign. The police chief resigned, and they had a second in command who was a second in command for years, who's been second in command for two or three different chiefs. So if he doesn't know the system, then nobody knows the system if he's the second in command. So why, de Blasio, you think you black? Why didn't you put him in there? Why didn't you give him the spot? Again, why didn't you give him the spot? So this, we're talking about that we need, there needs to be fairness, there needs to be justice, and it needs to be done when it needs to be done, not when we feel like doing it for whatever reason. You know, it has to be, it should be done. And if the man wasn't deserving, he should have fired him a long time ago. If he didn't deserve the top spot, he shouldn't have been in the second slot for the time that he's been there. And that's that fruit of the poisonous tree that I was just talking about in the introduction. So just we want to keep that in mind of how we and are moving forward. So we have to work in every area we are for criminal justice reform. And I want to talk about, this is an Indian guy. An Indian guy did a research. His name is Raj Chetty, and he's a doctor, a scientist, forensic scientist in social work. And he did a research on social mobility and talking about the upward movement of from generation to generation. And he said, like, in the 40s and 60s, you saw one generation make a clear upward income social movement in America. But now, America shows, he said, that America shows the lowest chance and percentage in making an upward income social movement for non-whites. Which, I mean, this is that plantation psychosis. This is that fruit of the poisonous tree that we're working with. His research then showed that black boys and black men were the most negative affected as a result of racism. Nothing else but racism. That racism is absolutely the primary factor in the causation of negative upward mobility of black boys and black men. He said that you could take and make everything equal and make everything equal between whites and blacks, and the race will be the factor that causes the black boys and men from progressing, no matter what level you're talking about. No matter what level. This was I was just amazing that he could do such a research like that and come up with that and with such factual expression in which he said. Now he said, and as many things to make them identical aside from race, and you will see that race will create a divide in their upward mobility. Now, his suggestion was, now to reduce this, he said, reduce the access. And the way he said this is, I'll address it another way because I don't like it. He said to reduce the access to the criminal justice system, the number of black fathers in the neighborhood, mentors, examples, education. 40% of white students that Harvard admits are legacy, jocks, or kids of donors and faculty. Are you hearing what's happening here? 43% of white students, and this is just one school, that Harvard admits are legacy, jocks, or kids of donors and faculty. So here we again, the fruit of the poisonous tree. It is the fruit of the poisonous tree. Now, I say that we need to increase the quality of education in minority schools and teach the black experience in America to all children. Not just black children, but to all children. They need to learn the black experience in American history as it happened, not how they want to clean it up or soften it, but as it happened. And then we both, because when we hear it, it's embarrassing to us, and it's embarrassing to them. So we have to get past that embarrassment because it happened. It's a fact. And so we have to address the fact. And in addressing the fact, we will do better. And next I want to go to a young lady, Centonia Brown Long. Now, she was convicted for murder at 16. And she murdered a John, whom her pimp, she was pimped out with a John, and she murdered the John. She thought the John was going to, when she refused to do what he wanted to do and whatnot, and then she murdered him. You want to say something?
Actually, yeah, thank you. It wasn't that she murdered a John. She was sexually trafficked. She was sexually trafficked, and she was tired and pretty much said that, you know, nobody else is going to touch me again. And that particular person, whomever it would have been, would have been the person that was killed, because that was the last time that she was going to be attacked.
Right.
So that was her desire. That was her thought. And
And she said that when I was watching the interview, she said that not until in her, now she was 16 when this happened. She said not until in her 20s did she understand that she was a victim of sex trafficking. So the psychological makeup here, you know, people's state of mind, people's perception, people's understanding, the ability to indoctrinate youngsters and into believing what you want them to believe, and until a situation presents themselves, I call a cataclysmic event happens. Now, the whole family. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, the family of both the perpetrator and the victim are sufferers in this. So there's a whole lot of healing that needs to be going on here. There's a whole lot of healing. So to all of those who may be in listening to me, that think about what you do before you do something wrong, about who it's going to affect besides you. Think about it. Because and then when I say, because we have white collar crimes too, you know, and the white collar, you need to think about what the consequences of a white collar crime also, because like a Bernie Madoff, his family, just his son killed himself as a result of what he did. So we have to be mindful all across the board before you do something illegal, how it's going to affect those my loved ones, how it's going to affect those who I say I love. After I engage in this act. So what's amazing is that she didn't understand, for me was, yeah, she didn't understand that she was a victim of sex trafficking until she was in her 20s, that she come to an understanding of that. Now, moving right along on this, on the same vein, in the same vein of Facility Huffman, I want to, that pled guilty, huh? Felicity, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, Felicity. Oh, is she Felicity? Okay, Felicity Huffman pled guilty and was allowed to go home and get business in order. She was allowed to go home, get her business in order. How many people of color are given that consideration to go home and get their business in order? So I mean, they didn't give that to Bill Cosby. They didn't let Bill Cosby go home and get his business in order. You know, well, and I, moving right along again, they're talking about health care for women. I think it was in Louisiana, a nonprofit group was not allowed to provide abortion in Louisiana due to strict rules. But they found that the organization, the nonprofit organization, was in compliance with all the rules. So why was they denied? Here we go again. Doing something to someone, doing something to some people, even though you're wrong, punishing people and then finding out that what they were doing were right and exact all along, and you were wrong. The fruit of the poisonous tree continues, and we have to cut the tree down. We have to root the tree up and burn it. Make paper out of the tree and the roots, so that we can restructure. We can restructure the thinking, restructure our base. Now I want to move on again, because I'm going into issues that affect, that reflect the fruit of the poisonous tree and the need to change how we think, our perception, our integrity. We have to change it. We have to have integral people in the position. Again, I want to I didn't quote my favorite quote at the beginning Johnny Cochran, that the system is a system of deceitful, dishonest, betraying, corrupt officials. And so we have to change that. They have to stop being deceitful. They have to stop being dishonest. They have to stop betraying their trust. And they have to stop being corrupt, man. Stop being corrupt. If we can get people to, and this is the changing of a mind, changing of a value system, changing of how you perceive other people. Remember, for Muslims, Allah says that He has made us into tribes and nation that we might know one another. And there's no big eyes and no illusions. And speak the truth even if it's against yourself. So if we practice just those two principles, man, we would get along. Just those two principles, without anything else, we would get along in the world with each other. Now, Stacey Adams, a political activist who ran for governor in Georgia, interviewed on race, social, voter suppression, on the status of voter suppression. Now, and in his interview, he made some points. He made some points about our state of our status of voting. And the suppression of voting and why people suppress votes. So America, now one of the points he made was that America fight overseas for other people to have the democracy that America denies blacks right here. So we are going around the country telling people, charging people with human rights violation, charging people with all kinds of violations, and we engaging in the violation right here at home. Here we go with that hypocrisy. Here we go with that dishonesty. Here we go with that corruption. As we go around the world, and I think our this one is 45th. Our 45th is a he is the epitome of all of that. So American deceitful and dishonest, betraying corrupt officials will, here's what he said, will sacrifice the democracy that they espouse to keep a hold on waning power. Now, that is a perfect example of the democratic, I mean, the law I'm to. That wasn't no Freudian. That was just the truth coming out, as it should come out, because both sides are corrupt. But that's the typical example of the Republican state right now. They will sacrifice their claim to having a democracy, claim of having a democracy, to the corruption of the of their leader right now, to hold on to waning power. They just want to hold on to some power. They just want to hold on to their office. They don't care right, wrong, or indifferent. They don't care that they know that they can't sleep at night with the things that the president is doing. They know they can't sleep at night. There's no way in the world they can sleep at night. If they can sleep at night, they are shaitan themselves. And their purpose in this creation is to disrupt it. But if they have an Adam's way of humanity in them, they can't sleep at night with what's going, because it's perfectly clear what's happening. So, and here's another, when we talk about voter suppression, what they do, what politicians do, is redistricting is an official way for elected officials to pick their voters as opposed to voters picking elected officials. So they redistrict so that they can get people in certain areas. They want people in certain areas, and they want to deny people in certain areas, so they redistrict. And in the redistricting process, you eliminate certain voters, and you take on certain voters. And, man, this system is just, oh, my goodness. The system is just something else. And with that, we're going to take a commercial break.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Wazir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something. Something that strikes at the very heart of our families and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses, and that helped us to see an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me are a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors, hold workshops in your community, invite experts to learn more, and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
Assalamu alaikum, and we're back with criminal justice reform. And I want to, I was watching again a program, and this gentleman was talking about people who have passed away that have not been been recognized for things that they did. And so he, in his book, he mentioned a young lady Elizabeth Jennings. Now, Elizabeth Jennings existed in 1854. Now, I want you to understand that date. 1854. In 1854, Elizabeth Jennings was kicked off a horse-drawn streetcar in Lower Manhattan while on her way to church. Now, she sued in civil court before an all-white male jury and won. And what this did was led to the integration of New York transportation system. So women were doing it way back then. It also led to movements in other cities and towns, particularly in Philly and whatnot. A lot of things in Philly started happening after that led up to different wars, that led up to the wars. Now, Robert Small of the was a black congressman of Reconstruction, because this led to Robert Small becoming elected as a congressman during Reconstruction. Now, this happened 100 years before Rosa Parks decided she wasn't going to go to the back of the bus. Now, that means that our people have been opposing the system, the criminal justice system, in the proper way, coming up, actually doing slavery, because we talk about 1854, during slavery, they were opposing and standing up for their rights in the proper manner, in spite of the oppression and discrimination and the system being the fruit of the poisonous tree. And my point in this is that we've had a lot of African-Americans that before and subsequent to the freeing of the slaves were in the system. They were voted to office long before we started this new elected officials to office of the first this and the first that. And I kind of question that a lot of these who are the first, because if we go back and get to read the true history, we will see that we were in these offices long before, and it was during Reconstruction that in the Jim Crow era that they started blocking us from voting. They started blocking us from they started destroying our towns and our black Wall Streets. And you know, they talk about Rosewood and Oklahoma, but I will put a lot on the fact that there were a lot more Rosewoods and black Wall Streets around town that the Ku Klux Klan burnt down. They burnt it down, and I kind of can imagine the feeling of, man, every time we build up something, you burn it back down. Every time we build it back up, you burn it back down. Every time we build it back down, I mean, the human side of us will get tired of that, and going to find another way, and I think the other way that they that our people came up with was integration, which was, I think, a wrong thing. I think was a wrong thing. It was So, and with that, we're going to take a PSA and be right back.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of a solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC and AM360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills, knowledge, and abilities today at CWSC.us. Because words make people, but it will take people to remake the world.
Say we want to thank all our listening audience for joining us. We know that you depend on American Muslim 360 to bring you quality program you can't get anywhere else. So I'm going to ask you this morning to keep us on air and help us to continue this quality program by supporting American Muslim 360 with your contribution. So go now to CWSC.us on your computer, tablet, smartphone, or whatever device Allah has blessed you with, and make your contribution today. American Muslim 360 is believer-supported radio. Now, something I want to say, we need you to go right now to CWSC.us and make a contribution. Our most popular giving level is $9.99 a month. You can give online right now. It's secure, convenient, and allows each of you to do our part to help remake the world. With each of us doing our small part, together we can remake the world. And if you'd like to phone your pledge in, a representative can assist you right now. Dial 910-317-0297. Yes, that's 910-317-0297. Jazakallah wa khair. CWSC and American Muslim 360 appreciate your support.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, and we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. It's
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Louisiana. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. You know, but I got to ask you this question. Maybe I heard this wrong. You say that you felt like integration wasn't a good thing?
Nah, I said it wasn't.
Okay, give me the info on that. But how you felt?
Well, when I say that it wasn't a good thing, I don't mean it wasn't an absolute. I don't mean it absolutely, but we have lost more from integration than we would have gained from independence.
Look, I hadn't thought about that in such a long time. I'm gonna really have to just get some thought to it probably tomorrow and see what I come up with. Praise be to Allah. If you want to give some more of it, good. But if not, you can. I'm loving to talk anyway. So praise be to Allah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was, you know, was trying to get us to get to separate and build our own. And if you separate and build your own, you become independent. You learn to love one another. I went to an all black school, and I got more out of that all black school than I did when they integrated. Until I started studying on my own. When I started studying on my own, that I really got information that was beneficial to me. You can get educated, but the education is not designed for your health. It's designed to control you. It's designed to make you a commodity for the system. So you have to get an education that is designed for you, an education that will make you a better human being, a better person in yourself. We have 4 minutes left. I wanted to close with a reading from the Quran for us, and it's from Surah 24. Surah 24, the light, Nur. Surely those who concoct the slander are from a clique among you. Do not regard this incident as only an evil, for it also contains a good lesson for you. Whoever took any part in this sin has earned his share accordingly, and the one who took on himself the leading part shall have a terrible punishment. Why did not the believing men and women, when they heard of this slander, think well of their own people and say, this is clearly a false accusation? Were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah towards you in this world and the hereafter, you would have been surely severely punished for your involvement in this scandal. When you passed on with your tongues and uttered with your mouths that about which you had no knowledge, you took it lightly while it was a very serious offense in the sight of Allah. Why did you not, when you heard about it, say it is not befitting for us to talk about it? Glory be to Allah, O Allah. Allah admonishes you never to repeat a mistake like this if you are true believers. Allah has made his revelation clear to you. Salaka Allahu Adeem. Surely Allah speaks the truth. And that will conclude criminal justice reform. And we will be passing it on to the birth of women. And I want to say in our leaving that you may contact me at the Zaid Center, THEZAIDCENTER @gmail.com with any questions. And please, stay alive. Don't text and drive. Assalamu alaikum.